following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you for downloading, streaming, clicking the play button, I think is really kind of all that matters at this point. Appreciate you doing that. I've changed my production schedule a wee bit. It's not Sunday. I know this comes out on Sunday, but this particular episode was not taped on Sunday. As a matter of interest, it was taped on Friday, the 19th of July. A couple of reasons for this. I have a very busy Sunday, even though I usually tape on Sundays. This Sunday, I'm busy. I got a lot of irons in the fire. I got a lot of things going on, and I had to kind of shift things around. And I really should do this more often. I should really kind of, and instead of just putting it off to the last minute. And it's not that it's not like I don't give a shit. It's just that sometimes there's a certain freshness to having the show done the way that I do it. It just makes more sense that way. Nevertheless, it's a Friday. I know what's happening later on Sunday. Or later on today, depending on when you are when you hear this, such as that may be. So, we're going to get into a couple of fun things here. Some thought-provoking things, because that's kind of like, I like to work like that. I like the idea that if anything that this show does is it might prompt you to think about something, one thing or another, something that might be, I don't know, maybe relevant to you, because stuff happens in this world, and we take a look at it from different angles. So there's that. I before we get to all of that nonsense, there's a little grocery store. It's not like a big Kroger, but it's a sizable grocery store. It's a good upper medium scale grocery store that I go to a lot. I like them a lot. It's a locally owned operation. Their employees are part stockholders into the thing, which is great. Been going there for years, and I've gotten to know these people that work there, and I'm there all the time. It's one of close to the studios, and I go over there for lunch often. I'll pick up something from their deli or from their little quick thing over there, and I'm in and out. They got everything I need, and the prices are good. Boom, I'm in and out, and away I go. And I tell you what else I've always liked about that store is that there has been no less than 5 checkout lanes open at one time. That's pretty slick. That's pretty cool. And then one day I came in, and Julie, who runs the floral department, if you want to call it that, at the Super Low, there on Southern. Those of you in Memphis may know what I'm talking about. It's next door to the Target. Julie had a flower stand, if you will, right there as you come into the shop. You couldn't see her because she had a lot of flowers around her little desk type thing, her little counter, where she was back there making floral arrangements for people's weddings or anniversaries and stuff. She had a little knick-knacky stuff. If you needed to pick up a balloon for someone's birthday or a get-well type thing, greeting cards were there. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. It's that kind of thing. And I would often see her, and I'd part the flowers and stick my face, and I'd go, hey, Julie, how are you? Kind of gotten to know her over the years. She's a very sweet lady. And I go in there, and the thing is gone, and the whole flower stand thing is gone. It's just big gaping hole in the middle of the right there at the front of the store. And I was like, oh, holy damn, what the hell happened? And I ran into her a couple of days later. I said, I saw her out in the parking lot. I said, what's going on? And she goes, oh, they moved me. She says, they moved me down by the produce department. I'm over there by the, by the tomatoes. I said, well, okay, that's I said, why did they do that? I mean, you were right there in the front with everybody else. And she goes, they're putting in self-checkout aisles over here. That's what she was telling me. And immediately I was just, I became disappointed in the store. I just did. I was just, this is, I get it. I know why places do this. And it's there's a couple of reasons. and let's not fool ourselves. The number one thing, the bottom line is it's one less, couple of less people they have to hire to put on a cash register. You know, they got one guy standing there that can monitor what four or six of these units, and away they go. And the other reason is they claim that people want the convenience of it. I don't know that I buy that, but such as it is, we all know why it is. It's technology. It's an interesting invention, really. It's just taking what's already been there and just removing the cashier out of the equation and having a computer be the cashier for you. That's all it really is. And I just became sort of disappointed by this. And over time, the more and more of these the registers had opened. The self-checkout thing had opened. And I was in there, I guess it was the day they opened it, this week I think it was, and I was in there getting a couple of things, and I went and stood in line at a regular register, and there was some hump on the PA that was saying, "Our new self-checkout lines are open and available for use, no wait." And nobody was using them. Nobody. Nobody was using them at all. And we're all just kind of standing in line looking at each other, kind of smiling as if we had just won some little minor battle. Because all of us that shop at this place sort of feel the same way about these things. It just dehumanizes the whole process. Yeah, I'm like anybody else. There are times when I've got to go do something. I don't want to deal with people. I go in, get what I need, hit the self-checkout. I can get in and out of the store without talking to a single human being, and that might be okay. But for some strange reason, this particular store, it's nice mixing it up with the people. Because I've gotten to meet the regulars that go there as often as I do. And there's a lot of senior citizens that live around the corner from this place, and they come in by the busload to do their shopping, you know? And they like this, and you go to the cashier, and they talk to you. Hey, how you doing? How's your day going? Hey, you know, what are you doing for lunch today? You know, what do you got? You got everything you need? Find what you need? You go to the self-checkout, and it's like, give me your money. You know, it's one of those things. And it's you know, very impersonal. Look, I'm all about technology. I've got some great ideas. I tell you, I have come up with some brilliant ideas that would actually further mankind. The idea that caffeinated deodorant never took off still kind of scratches my head a little bit. Caffeinated toothpaste is another one. Never quite understood why that never got any traction. But I get it. Technology is an innovative thing. It's supposed to move us as a society. It really is. Like it or not, that's kind of the way it goes. And I know, you know, the day of the cashier who, you know, smiles at you and calls you honey, and takes your money for you and counts out your change the old-fashioned way. Those may be days far behind us. Now, places like Walmart, I say, just do nothing but self-checkout. But the little mom-and-pop grocery stores should never do it. That's just my point of view. Take it for what it's worth. Like I said, caffeinated deodorant never took off. I don't know why my ideas ever will anyway.
Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to memphisbrewbus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink.
Right. So the big thing that was in the news this week, you no doubt saw it or saw the results of it if you spent any time on Facebook. It's what you look like 50 years from now. You know what I'm talking about? You upload a photograph using an app of some description that ages you quite remarkably well. And then you post it, and everybody's having fun looking at each other, you know, being 50 years older than they were. And the thing went viral. this thing almost immediately, as much fun as people were having, stories started to come out really quick about how you should not be using this. And I even, when I discovered the story, I posted, I did the thing on Radio Memphis in the Morning. I did the story, and then we posted the story just as a public service thing to the Facebook page for Radio Memphis in the Morning. and said, hey, you know, if you're using it, delete the app because it apparently it goes back to a company in Russia that's been around for a while, and the terms of service to this thing are pretty telling. Because you could wind up giving all of your information to this company in Russia. And here we are getting into an election season. Not that an election season never really ended, mind you. But it's starting to ramp back up. And look, you know, with all this talk of Russians being involved in our elections, and now you got this, you know, hinky bit of software that people are putting on their phones and having some fun with. And everybody's going, oh, well, it was free. Well, yeah, knuckle nuts. But there's no such thing as a free lunch. There's nothing for free out there. Sure, it doesn't cost you any money, but it might cost you something else. Because you have to remember, on the internet, money is not the ultimate. Well, it eventually becomes the ultimate goal, but primarily it's data. That's what they want. They want information. They want data. They want to know exactly what the hell's going on. They want to know who you are, how old you are, what you're doing, where you live, what places you like to go to. They're tracking all this on your phone anyway. And it's not some paranoid delusion. That's just a fact. That's just what it is. At any rate, back to this app. It came out pretty quick, and everybody really kind of ran off with it. Face app is what it was. Last Wednesday, the Democratic National Committee had sent a notice to the 2020 presidential campaigns urging them to delete the app immediately over concerns that there was no way to know what FaceApp was doing with the data. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer even wrote a letter to the FBI and the Federal Trade Commission, and he asked for an investigation into all of this. This is how serious this got. Of course, when I posted this online, somebody sent me a message and accused me of sucking the fun out of life. Look, it's a free world. Go do whatever the hell you want to. According to this letter that Schumer had written, FaceApp, quote, could pose national security and privacy risks for millions of U.S. citizens, he cautioned, unquote. And moms the world over texted their kids to delete the app just in case, which, reasonably so, a lot of people did. Now, because if you notice, when you go onto Facebook, they're all the old people pictures are gone. Have you noticed that? Well, not all of them, but most of them are. It wasn't as prolific as it was because it was fun for the moment, and then that was that. Now, to be fair, the terms of service that FaceApp uses are really broad, incredibly broad. Its permissions explicitly claim a right to this is where it is, and I have it because I have it right here in front of me. Pay attention. Perpetual, irrevocable, non-exclusive, royalty-free, worldwide, fully paid license once users upload their photos to the app. Adding to the public anxiety, FaceApp is based in St. Petersburg, not Florida. And Russia is a country many folks automatically associate with U.S. election interference, thanks to everything that's going on. FaceApp has been around since, I think, like 2013, to be fair. And so they come up with a new twist on some of the fun that they're able to do, which is what you get when you download. You get to have some fun and goofing around with a picture and just, this is what my baby's going to look like when he's 50, you know, or something stupid. It's fun. It draws a lot of people in. But the expense is what's on your phone is also going out the door without your knowledge. Well, technically, with your knowledge, because you had to agree to the terms of service before you opened it up and started farting around with the damn thing. Well, in the days since the app had taken off, the consensus emerging from security researchers had been that the app's permissions are not out of step with the practice of most tech firms. It's boilerplate, and I get that. And part of the problem was that people that were complaining about this on Facebook were also being called out. Well, you're on Facebook, and Facebook is not known for privacy. True. Very true. Because Facebook does, you know, it gets a little creepy. Instagram's no different, but it's owned by Facebook. Twitter, not so much. I just wish Twitter had just stepped up more than what they did. Anyway, these security researchers have concluded that the heightened panic was not based on the evidence, but rather anxiety after multiple cataclysmic data breaches in recent years that have made people proactively and reflexively protective of their privacy. And thus you should be. I'll never have a camera or a spy in my house. Ooh, Alexa's got a thing I can put in my kitchen and I can talk to it while I'm making cookies. Uh-huh. What else is it? What else is it listening for? So, at any rate, there was some researching going on. There's been a bit of an investigation that's going on, and I have a little bit of the information that came out of this. According to FaceApp CEO Yaroslav Goncharov, the app's terms of service and permissions are nothing to panic over because the company isn't doing anything nefarious with your data. Oh, that settles it. There's nothing to see here. Just move along. According to Goncharov, he says, we only upload a photo selected for editing. You can quickly check this with any of the network sniffing tools available on the internet. He said, so these researchers, they took his claim and ran the test, and the results are pretty much what the Russian guy is saying. But still, there's something going on here. Now, the test pointed to the same conclusion, no indication that users were giving up data amounting to more than a single photo of one face at a time. All right, these researchers installed FaceApp on two phones, one running Google's Android operating system, the other running Apple iOS, and used the open source packet analysis tool Wireshark to sniff out the traffic while the app was in use. And it got tested, both devices without permissions to access photos and with permissions to access photos. And the result was they didn't see any suspicious increase in the size of outbound traffic that would indicate a leak of data beyond permitted uploads. The researchers uploaded four pictures to FaceApp, which corresponded with the four spikes in a graphic. With some noise at the end of the fourth upload, the graphic also shows that each upload takes about the same amount of time to transfer data. Now, theoretically, FaceApp could send your photos slowly without drawing attention, but they also checked to see that what that app was doing while running in the background in iOS. And with FaceApp running in the background, the outbound traffic on their iPhone was negligible, around 5 megabytes in 10 minutes. After about an hour, the iPhone had pushed just to 43 megabytes of data. That amount is what would be expected if FaceApp were not uploading users' camera rolls in the background, but would include outbound data from apps that weren't just FaceApp, like background refreshes from Twitter, Gmail, and others such. So it appears that the thing, even though might be kind of safe, but there's something that needs to be mentioned here. There's nothing that would stop FaceApp from changing its behavior later. It's possible that FaceApp could add data snooping in the future given its broad terms of service. That's why they laid all that in there, you see. For the most part, the viral thing about FaceApp tells us that we should all be a little bit more aware of what permissions we give applications. According to this, we're far too quick to jump into something fun without thinking about the implications of giving up our data. That is the nut of it all. You need to be a little bit more vigilant with your stuff, with your life. You got to think about everything that you do on your phone. Not just making phone calls, but sending text messages, using Messenger, communicating with other people in some way, shape, or form, taking a lot of pictures, shooting some video, using all of your social media, whatever it may be, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, WhatsApp, Snapchat, all of that. Reddit, even. How many passwords you keep stored on the thing? How many of you engage in online banking through your phone? There's a thought. There's something to consider. But we don't want to think about privacy per se when some fun toy like this comes out, because we're thinking, oh, I've never had any problems, therefore this should be okay. I should be fine. Everything is going to be just great. This is just a fun thing to see what I'm going to... You know, it doesn't cost anything. They just did it for my benefit. No, they didn't. They did not do this for your benefit. They hooked you in with that. I'm convinced of this. I know more and more. Every week goes by, and I think people sit here and listen to this, and they go, God damn, Rick, you're turning into a conspiracy theorist. No, I'm not. Seriously, I'm not. I may sound like one at times, but I'm not. It's just that when something is too good to be true, it often is. And this is certainly no different. You're dealing with with something that you're allowing access. You have to click the terms of service thing. You have to agree to it before you can use the thing. Well, that's just a big key that unlocks the door to everything on your phone. Look, I got a new phone not too terribly long ago. I keep a wary eye on the damn thing. I don't keep a lot of stuff on it that is, certainly, look, the good Lord gave me a brain where I can store stuff in. I know there's times I forget stuff, but at the same time, I remember a lot. So if I were to somehow lose my phone and I'd be in a situation like, oh man, I don't know that. I don't know that because it's on my phone. No, I know, hell, I know my own phone number, which is really, you would think, well, everybody knows their own phone number. All right. Do you know your wife's phone number? You know your boyfriend's number? You know your husband? Do you know your kid's phone number? Do you know your mom's phone number? Do you know these numbers? Do you know a good bail bondsman? Because when you're in the pokey, they don't let you use your phone. you should memorize some stuff. Pay attention to the terms of service, and that's on anything, man. It's not just phones, but of course, like tablets, laptops, of course, all your mobile devices, man. They're the ones that you really got to keep an eye on. Your desktop, not so much, because you can really anchor that thing down. It's usually connected to a wired router of some sort, and you can firewall the hell out of that, and you can do all sorts of stuff, and there's all sorts of security and different parameters, and there's a million ways to do it, and you're fine. I've been fortunate. I've never really had any issues per se. Having said that, it's not like I'm going to turn my back on any of it either. I keep a close eye on this sort of stuff because you have to be. You have to be very concerned with such things. If you're at home and you have your modem, right, your router, okay. I know modem is such an old term. It's your router. It does the same thing, but mobile devices can connect to it. If you don't have a password on that thing, that is something that is a little more beyond than what was given it when you got the thing, man, you're asking for trouble. You really are, because people now can get into your wireless network, and then they can get into to devices that are connected to it. There's a million things. You have to be mindful of that. Now, your average run-of-the-mill everyday hacker aside, blood-chilling effect here that we're dealing with here is stuff that we actively seek out to download, hence an app or a bit of software that we put down onto our devices to do the things that we want them to do without taking a look at what the actual terms of service are. Now, should you sit down and read every word of the terms of service? You probably should. You'd have to be very, very patient and have a lot of time on your hands, because they're written in a very complicated fashion. And that's by design. That's exactly why that's done that way. Because they want you to just, whatever. Oh, we're just going to go. And then you, boom, do it, and you're out the door. And okay, now I want to go, I want to go make fun of people's pictures. Not knowing exactly what it is that you've just agreed to. You may have just agreed to, give up your firstborn child to Vladimir Putin. You don't know this. I don't know if there's a proper answer for this sort of thing. I mean, I would suggest that, you could come up with some sort of a law that would state that your terms of service would need to be reasonable. It should be written in some sort of a common language that we can understand and be able to parse, because, hey, it's no secret that Americans, by and large, when it comes to this sort of thing, are kind of dumb. We do stupid shit all the time, without a doubt. You have heard about the Area 51 party that's happening, right? September, 20th? They've got over a million people that have said that they're going to go storm the gates of Area 51 so they could go see the aliens. First of all, this is not going to happen, because it's just, how these things go. Secondly, I said this on the air. Those that have missed it, what I said was, if there was some enterprising young band out there that had the means to carry their ass to to that little area right outside of Area 51, you know, where everybody's going to congregate. Go there, set up a stage, start playing some music. A little mini music festival could break out right there on the spot, right? Nobody gets hurt. Nobody gets shot. Everybody has a good time. Bud Light, for whatever they're worth, have said that they would be willing to give beer, free beer, mind you, to any alien that got out of Area 51. Now, they know that that's not going to happen, so they're not going to lose any beer. But since there's going to be a band or two that may set up over at this thing, what they have... See, I've got an idea, and I'm giving this one to you people. There could be a bunch of bands that could set up there. Bud Light could get involved in this and have the Bud Light Area 51 Alien Fest. Right, you know, and do it in September, late September of every year. They do it out there, and they celebrate aliens, and they have lots of music, some rock and roll. They got some fun stuff going. People, you know, wearing their bikinis and their sunscreen and their big hats, and they walk around their flip flops, and they have music, and they're wearing alien masks. They're just having a large time. They're not storming any military base where somebody's going to get hurt. They're out there having a good time in the middle of the desert.
Well, that just sounds a lot like, Burning Man.
Yeah, but Burning Man is just—that's for rich hippies. That's a whole different deal. That's all. That's a whole messed up deal. That's what that is. Having never been, but seeing plenty of coverage of it, it is some place that I would rather not be. I would rather be at the Area 51 Alien Rock Fest before I would be at Burning Man, and I think a lot of people would agree with that. Seriously. And it's not like you'd have to charge a whole hell of a lot because you've already got a million or so people that said they're going to be there. Well, shit, charge them all a couple of bucks. There's $2 million right there. That should cover any bands that might want to come set up or your infrastructure and all that. Everybody's making a couple of dollars. Everybody's having some fun. A weekend fest, a couple of days, boom, boom, in and out. Everybody goes home. But nobody listens to my ideas because they don't make any sense. Caffeinated deodorant. What the hell are you thinking? You know? Look, I'm just trying to help. However, if there were some people that were seriously off their rocker enough to want to go invade a military base to go find out what's going on, don't you think that these same people would be a little more proactive if they really wanted to get something done and invade the concentration camps along the southern border? Let's try that, shall we? Let's free some children from some cages, shall we? Can we get those kids protected? Can we do that? Can we free some of these people that are living in horrible conditions? We could do that. I know it's not as fun as a music fest out in the middle of the desert, but still, you know, if you're going to get proactive about something, that's a good place to start, don't you think?
It's summertime, and Wizards has all your outdoor fun covered. Memphis' number one alternative smoke and vape shop is your CBD headquarters, but they're not just a CBD or smoke shop. Novelty t-shirts, hats, sunglasses, and more. New stuff in the store every day. Woodwick candles, silver jewelry, tapestries, and candles, and really cool backflow incense burners. Great deals throughout the store. $19.99 Madison Avenue, open 10 to 10, 7 days a week. Online at memphiswizards.com. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Must be 18 or older to buy smoking-related material.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
You remember the film Weekend at Bernie's, right? About the dead guy and the two guys that are forced to, like, you know, fake the fact that the guy's actually dead. So they're walking him around. They've dressed him up. They've got him in glasses, and they're puppeteering this dead guy around. It's clever, clever plot. You see, I was having a lunch with a friend of mine who's in the radio business. He's in the terrestrial radio business here in town. And he and I got to talking about the state of radio. I mentioned Weekend at Bernie's because that was how he described the current state of FM radio. He said it's like you got these guys, these corporate humps that are standing around propping up this dead thing going, look, he looks great. Look how wonderful he is. Look, he can do all, he can dance. He can do everything. It hasn't changed a bit. FM radio is lovely, isn't it? No, it's a dead guy being propped up by all these corporate stiffs who think that it's still worth something. And the fact of the matter is, it ain't worth shit.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Right, so there you go. That's what, right. Sound like Bobby Brady. That's what's coming up next time here on the show. While that was going on, I was sitting here having a glass of water. I have I've gone through, probably 3 liters of water today, maybe 4 liters of water. Well, it's hot. It's hot here in Memphis. And help a brother out. It's 97 degrees. It was 97 degrees outside today. And with the dew point, I know a lot of people going, what? With the humidity, you see, I know the meteorologists out there listening are going, oh, they cringe when they hear that. There's a mathematical formula that can create a heat index, and it's based off of the current temperature plus the amount of water vapor, I think, that is in the air, something to that effect, and it gives you a number, and that number's in degrees. So, for example, if it's 97 degrees outside and the dew point is, say, 77 degrees, you get this ridiculous number of like 112 degrees Fahrenheit, which is what it sort of feels like outside. And today it was that way. And it wasn't so much that I was spending much time outside. It's just that the little time that I did spend outside, I got so damn hot and sweaty and thirsty. I've been drinking water all damn day long. You got to do that. You got to drink water. You got. It's the best thing for you. Look, I know. Well, that's a different tune out of you, Rick. I know it is. Because, I like beer. I like liquor. I drink alcoholic beverages. I'm one of those people. But I'm also kind of that age now where it's like I've got to be like, I might want to have a glass of water every once in a while because, you don't want to be like all dehydrated and weird, which is true. Dehydration is not good. So if you're having to be out in this heat, those of you here in the Memphis and Mid-South area that may be listening to this show, God, drink a lot of water. You can't drink enough of it. And on that, those of you outside of this area that wonder what it is so special about this, come to Memphis around this time of year between, I'd say, 2 weeks of July through, first couple of weeks of September. That's when it's really, really freaking special around here. And we talk about it a lot because, we're used to it. But, at the same time, you have to be mindful of what's going on. And you have to, look out for, if you got a dog, if it's over 90 degrees, get his ass inside. He doesn't need to be out there. I don't take our dog Duke out on these long walks when it's hot like this. A, because he's wearing a black coat, so that's not going to do him any favors. And B, the pavement's just too damn hot. He's not wearing shoes. I mean, you can get dog shoes, but God, if I put shoes on this dog, he would walk funny, and it would be great. It'd be great stuff for Instagram, that's for sure. But at the same time, it'd be kind of, he's better off just chilling under the air conditioner, hanging out on the couch, watching Flintstones reruns. And then when he needs to go outside to do his filthy business, you just open up the door and you let him go outside. And he's fine out there because he's only out there for a couple of minutes. And he comes back in. He comes in as though he has just traversed the Mojave Desert. It's like he's been to the Alien Music Festival outside of Area 51. He's dying for a cold beverage. So he heads over to the bowl, has him a few mouthfuls of water. He's back on the couch catching back up with, with Fred Flintstone and him. That's the life of the Greyhound that lives with us here. So, yeah. Yeah, there you go. If you're listening to this program before 8 p.m. Central Time on this Sunday, the day it came out, the 21st of July, tonight at radio-memphis.com, the Booze and Blues show will be on the air. Yours truly sitting in the seat, running the board, having a fine time with a bunch of lovely fellows that go by the name of the Memphis Snake Doctors. We'll play some live blues. We'll have some fun. We'll tell some stories. Some of them may be true. And it'll all happen for about 3 hours, starting at 8 p.m. Central Time at radio-memphis.com. You can get it on any device that's connected to the web. And no, we don't have all that tracking shit that goes along. There's no terms of service with us. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. You just have to endure some commercials from time to time. That's the only difference. That's what we get. That's my terms of service right there. It's a free show. There's not even an app for the goddamn thing. It's a free show. You're going to get music. You're going to have some talk. You can even call in and have some fun with whatever the case may be. And what do we get in return? Your loyalty. And we put a few commercials on a couple of times an hour. And that's all. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. Nothing more. We don't care, where everybody is. targeted advertising doesn't work. I could do a whole show on it. I should do one on targeted advertising because, boy, what a snow job that's being rammed down everybody's throat. That and potential advertisers going, well, I get more bang for my buck when I advertise on Facebook. I can see the numbers and the analytics. You are being lied to. Facebook does not tell you the truth. I can testify to this. It's an honest statement. That's all there is to it. Look, I got to go. I got things I got to get into. Thank you so much for being a part of the program. You heard what's coming up next time. I got to go. In the meantime, y'all stay cool. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. For God's sake, stop shooting each other, all right? I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.